Good afternoon, folks. This is Carolyn Evers. Got so much to talk about today, and I'm sure it's going to be very enlightening to you. First of all, before we get into the regular part of the program that I prepared, I want to discuss what some scientists are studying in Israel. They're looking at the elderberry. The elderberry has been around for some time, of course, but they're looking at the elderberry from the standpoint of working with the immune system, and they're particularly looking at it from the standpoint of overcoming viruses in the physical body. And for some people, you might have some difficulty finding elderberry that you can take because there's it's a particular type of elderberry, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing this right, Sambucus nigra. So it's a particular kind of elderberry that is being studied. And if you have tried to purchase some of this, you might find that it's rather expensive buying prepared elderberry tincture. Now, I found something that I thought was interesting because this is a very inexpensive way of making your own. And I found this at herbalhealer.com. It's H-E-R-B-A-L, healer, one word, .com. They sell a quarter of a pound of dried elderberries, the kind that would be used in this tincture. And it's so simple to make. You just take a quart jar, put in a quarter pound of dried elderberries, fill it to the top with vodka, store it for a few days, let it sit for about 30 days, and you can start using it, taking a teaspoon of this and put it in water once a day, and this should have a great help with any kind of viruses, picks up the immune system. So what I would suggest is put in elderberry in, do a search on it, you know, Google it, and you might find what some of the scientists are finding out about the elderberry. I love the thought of being able to use nature's blessings that they have for us instead of turning to things like drugs, though sometimes that might be necessary, but here is a simple thing that you can do that would be very helpful in building up the immune system and keeping you, giving you some safeguard against some viruses that might be coming down the road. For those of you who might wish to call in, either ask for some information from the Universal Records, our number here is a toll-free number in the U.S. It's 877-876-5227. And if you're in Canada, we have a toll-free number for Canadians also. It's 888-815-9756. Today, I decided to talk about some which I think is very remarkable information that is coming forth from the spiritual hierarchy. If you're not familiar with the fact that I have been holding conference calls at their request, you can go to my website, www.carolynevers.com, and at the right-hand top corner, there's a button which says conference calls. The whole schedule for October is already posted. And there are some remarkable things going on there. First of all, Jesus held his first conference call during the month of September, and he discussed his secret teachings. When we say secret, things that he really taught to those around him, but they didn't understand the concepts of ascension. He, of course, used other words to describe that, but this was what he was trying to teach. He also said that he made the light connection between this dimension and the next higher dimension. It was one of the things that he did accomplish while he was on Earth, and he needed to be in human form to be able to do this. One of the conference calls that I did want to discuss was the very last one. Archangel Michael has been working with the electron, and that might sound like something that is not too important because electrons have been around for a while. However, what he tells us is that in the higher dimensions, electrons react a little bit differently. Their spacing is different, and it does make sense when you stop and think about it. Here in this dimension, the gases and particles are much more compacted because of the level that we are living on, and as you go up through the dimensions, the particles are not as compacted as they are here, so the electron is, in essence, behaving a little bit differently. It seems like each conference call that we have, there is more information that comes out about this. I have found that this particular conference call was so remarkable. I'm going to go over a little bit of the information, but first, we're going to bring on the caller that is calling in with us. And your name, please?
Hi, Carolyn. This is Jean.
Jean. Hi, Jean.
Hi. I just had a quick question. I just wondered...
I'm hearing music in the background, Jean, and it's very hard understanding what you're saying. If you can stop that, that's better.
Okay. And I just wanted to ask, I was outside today, and I was meditating, and when I was looking up, there's all these little lights, like little orbs, and they were all dancing and flying all over. What does that mean? Is it just spirits or guides or angels? Or
actually, there's a lot of people who are talking about this. Were you aware of that, Jean, that there's a lot of people seeing these orbs?
No, I've been so busy lately, I haven't been able to get on the conference calls.
Yeah, I didn't really mean from the conference call. What I meant was just if you go on the Internet and, Google it.
I like to sit and do that every evening, but I've been overwhelmed with some things going on.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, aren't we?
Yeah, and I just thought, well, today I was just going to go outside where it's peace and quiet and just lay in a blanket and just do a meditation, and it was beautiful.
Well, I'm chuckling because Archangel Michael is here. He's so cute. He says he'll take that one.
Okay.
I asked him to come and be available because I was going to be discussing his last conference call that he did with the electron, and some of the information that came in was so remarkable, I felt like I wanted to talk about that. So I said to him, are you willing to be here and take some questions? And he said, yes. Now, this is not on the topic, but he says he'll take that one. So let's see what he has to say.
Okay, sounds good.
Sounds good to me, Dean.
Yes.
He's asking you a question. He said, when you saw the orbs, did you notice any faces in the orbs, or did you just see the round light?
Actually, there was all the little twinkling lights, like thousands of them, and then there was little faces, like out of black lines, mm-hmm. and there was just like the outlines of faces. But that was only with my left eye,
mm-hmm.
and with my right eye, you know, I just saw the little sparkling orbs, and when I looked with both eyes, I saw the sparkling orbs. So it was kind of different, but I just kind of played around with it.
Well, he says that He says, that's the operational word, play around with it.
Okay.
He is a very, very joyful kind of personality. Anybody who's been on a conference call and have heard Archangel Michael, you know he's one that likes to play.
Oh, yes.
He said, playing with it is the operational word here. He said he knew that you had seen some faces, but he wanted to bring that out in the conversation so that those that are listening and those who might hear this conversation in the archives, that this is a very important... That is a very important point to...
Just a second. Oh, my grandson's here.
I know, and they are delightful, but what's happening is when that is going on, it kind of breaks my connection. Maybe you can find out what he wants and straighten that out with him.
I just walked out of the room.
Oh, okay. Let me connect again, because, see, when
Sorry.
I concentrate on him, it another conversation kind of pulls my concentration away from what he's saying.
Okay.
Yes. He says the face is very important because these are spirit entities, and they are descending upon the planet right now, and they are multiplying. They are like a reflection. If you want to think of a mirror, and it is a... It's a... Are you there, Dean?
Yes.
Because I can't concentrate on what's going on in the background, and there's a tunnel sound. Are you gone or what? I think the caller probably hung up. However, let me finish this information from Archangel Michael, because he did want to come in and discuss this. He was talking about the little faces that you see in these orbs, and as he explained it, it is like a reflection. And I want to go back, connect with him again, and see what he had to say about that. What happens on Earth is always reflected into the higher realms on some level. And there is a great amount of light that is being built up on this planet, as you know. It has not overtaken the planet yet, but there is enough light that is being built up from human beings that as it is reflected back into the higher realms, it is attracting joyfulness. And what you are seeing is spirits now are starting to enter your realm. They are starting to connect because they are feeling welcomed now. So you might say that this is an expression of joy from spiritual helpers who are primarily working with energy. They are bringing in more energy that is combining with human energy. And this will eventually build a blanket around the planet. This is the design, that it is going to act as an insulating blanket, and it will be one of the things that will help human beings to ascend without having the outside interference of those who are against Source and are against Source's operations here on this planet. So it is a good thing. And the fact that you meditate it, number one, is a very beautiful thing. It is something that all of you need to do more, to meditate. And also the fact that you were able to see the orbs, that you could perceive the consciousness that was held within the orbs, is a good thing. Also know that when people stand in those rays of orbs, they are forever changed in the sense that your receptors for light has been increased. So that is all that he had to say about that, which is an interesting message in itself. And getting back to the conference call that had to do with the electrons, there has been a remarkable amount of information that has been coming out of the conference calls. It is something that is evolving. And perhaps you've heard this from me before. He tells us that in February, there was a spray of energy from a supernova that entered our planet. And the scientists have identified this as supernova 1987A because that is when they first saw the explosion in the sky. This explosion actually occurred 200,000 years ago. The fascinating thing about that is when Homo sapiens, according to scientists, first entered our planet. So should we ever be surprised at how spirit monitors things? That explosion happened at that time so that all of these energies, since energy is not destroyed, just changes its composition, that energy would be here at this time when we are preparing for ascension. And that is what these energies are, in effect, doing for us. They are bringing us through a journey of sorts of preparing our body, of preparing the connection between the two dimensions, and eventually, with the help of the spiritual hierarchy, act as an insulation and protect us as we move up into the next dimension with our physical body. And so Archangel Michael gave us a little history of something that had happened, and that was the planet Mardak. And as he tells the story, it is now, of course, the asteroid belt, because that planet had been destroyed by the same, well, he gives a comparison here, the ones that we know of as deviant priests who were in Atlantis and was responsible for the breakup of that continent were also with souls in Mardak, this planet that was destroyed. And they were the cause for the destruction of that planet also. And they reincarnated along with other souls, reincarnated onto Earth, and there has been this, you might say, constant struggle between these two forces, those who are aligned with Source and those who are not. And the reason that this story is important is because when we go back to that history, the Earth was aligned to the galactic center and to the center of the cosmos. Now, that means the axis was aligned. This allowed energy to come directly from Source to the planet. However, when we fell in understanding and fell through some dimensions at that time in Atlantis, there was such a repercussion from all of that that it knocked the Earth out of alignment. In other words, the axis had changed, and now we were no longer aligned with galactic center or cosmic center, and the energy now had to come through certain gateways instead of coming directly to us. And so it's one of the reasons why it is necessary for axis to go back to where it was originally. It is a function of energy, and we have had one change in the poles a couple years ago during that tsunami. So this is a cycle, and it is part of our soul memory, and part of the reason for him discussing this is that we can we hold these memories either consciously or subconsciously, and they need to be cleared from our memory. And that was the work that we were doing, is learning again how to work with the electron, because at that time of Atlantis, at that time of the early days at Maldak, we as beings who knew how to work with the electron were able to manifest what we needed through thought alone. We could use the energy, bring it through a 90-degree turn, and in the movement of that energy with thought, we could materialize what was in our mind. Now, the way he explained it, in Atlantis, they did this. However, they needed the crystals to power that. And we will be moving again to the time when we will not need the crystals, that we will be able to use thought alone and materialize our thought into, you might say, clothe it into the hard physical objects that we have pictured in our mind. And, of course, when you stop and think about that, that is an incredible gift. It is a gift that is so incredible that we must be responsible with that. And so that is where this divide is, to make certain that those who move up into the next dimension, who have these gifts, will be of a mindset to use them responsibly. So I would like to remind those who want to join in on this conversation. For instance, do you have some memories of a period of time before we lived on planet Earth where there was a gigantic explosion, and in that turmoil, in that destruction, you might remember coming to Earth, reincarnating, or you might not. If you have any memories of this at all, give me a call, and our number here is 877-876-5227. You know, sometimes we don't consciously remember something. It's not like you get up and you say, okay, I had thus and such for breakfast, for lunch, I went here, I went there. You can kind of trace these events when they are recent memories. But when you are remembering things that happened from past lifetimes or happened from periods of history a long time from now, you kind of need a little nudge in your to remember something. And that's why we're bringing this up now. You might not consciously remember this, but perhaps unconsciously, as you start thinking about this event, something might come to mind. And if it comes to mind, give it some thought. If you can put your hand around the deed and actually start to remember something about this, give me a call. It would be an interesting thing to search your memory banks and see what you can remember. Atlantis was such an interesting period of time, and I want to mention Atlantis again because there were many gifts, activities that we did that was much more advanced than what we're doing now. True, there were forces that was working against the light, and I'm not going to be discussing those. I just want to discuss some of the things that occurred then, because I want to open up your mind to the possibility that perhaps we are able to do this again. One of the things that we were able to work with is we had a great sense and feel for vibration. it was like second nature to us. We were living in a world where we could feel a vibration. We could follow that vibration back to the source of that vibration and pick up information from the being, the one that was sending us that vibrational information. It was a great gift because what we were able to do was we had that kind of connection with Source. We were like a receiving center, and as we walked about our daily activities, we could actually, it was in a sense a form of meditation, we could actually send that picture of what we were contemplating to Source, and we could follow that line and actually feel Source's answer. Yes, to a certain extent, we're doing this in meditation. We can send out information to Source, and we can receive an answer back, but it wasn't quite the same the way it was then. The intensity of actually feeling that vibration, knowing, the absolute knowing where it was coming from, and to be able to decipher it was truly a gift. One of the things that they, the Atlanteans did in the Temple Beautiful, and I suspect that there are many out there who are remembering some of this, again, either on a conscious level or an unconscious level. And so many of us who have been in Atlantis are and have been reincarnating at this present time because this is the moment in our Earth history where we are moving back up to the ladder, back up to the top of the ladder, so to speak, to not only obtain the gifts that we had then, but we'll be going beyond those gifts, which is a fascinating thought to even think about. But what one of the things that the Temple Beautiful was all about was, you know, in our daily living, we do pick up thoughts that maybe aren't in our best interest. They're what some people might call negative thoughts. They might be something that we fear. It might be anger, our loss of patience. These are kind of the darker sides of our nature. It is not because it is not perfection. We accumulate these things. We accumulate them in our etheric body. Our mind can generate it, and that body surrounding the physical carries the results of these miscreated thoughts, thoughts that were not of perfection. And so what the Atlantean would do, every 7 years, they would clear the bodies that surrounded the physical. This would be the emotional bodies, the mental bodies, the spiritual bodies. They were able to clear all of this. And they did this through crystals. They did it through sound. And they did it because the one who was orchestrating this healing was perfectly aligned with Source. In other words, they were using God's energy to perfect the human body, to bring the human body up to the highest attainment that it could work under. And it was a place of great beauty. The lighting there, the crystal tables, the dedication of the people who walked among those who would have, it was sort of like a 7-year spiritual tune-up. And the Atlanteans would go through this, preparing the physical to keep it on the very highest level that they could work under. And at the high point, at the high point of the civilization, if you could see an Atlantean in the physical, those that followed source, those who were living in the spiritual life, the light shone from within. There was a light coming forth from their body. It was so intense that it actually made their garments glow. When you looked upon them, their clothing appeared to be this full of this white energy that was just coming out of the body, filling up the clothes. And I have to say, it made them appear so beautiful. They were so beautiful to behold, to see this light coming from the interior, coming out to the world. And when two of them stood together, when you had two beings who had this light exuding from their body, and the two of them stood together, it made a large glow around their physical body. I had a vision of that, and to see human beings look like that, it was an amazing image, I have to tell you. It was a beautiful image. And so you might wonder, well, what happened? How in the world did air creep into a life that seemed so idyllic? And it was very subtle. This is how things are. When you turn yourself around, they're very subtle. And it started out with pride. It's hard to understand pride if you're looking at it from the inside. If you're looking at it from the outside, it seems pretty simple to notice pride. But there were great things being done in Atlantis, and there were people who, under the tutelage of very dedicated high priests, were learning how to materialize. And if they made a new flower, that one moment they were working with energy, and the next moment there was a flower sitting in their hand that followed their mental image. They looked at it and said, why can't I take credit for this? So instead of giving source gratitude for allowing them to do this, they started taking credit for it. Why can't I take credit for this? I did this, did I not? And so one thing led to another. It was a very subtle thing until, after a while, there were souls that became very arrogant in what they could do. They were taking credit for all the things that they were doing where they should have been giving God credit for it. And that was how it started. And it's amazing when you stop and think how something so subtle could take a civilization in a 90-degree turn away from source to the point that they destroyed their land so that it sunk beneath the sea. Something to think about, isn't it? Anyway, for those of you who might have some memories of either Maldak, of those early days in Atlantis during the high point of Atlantis, share with us your memories. 888-876-5227. Now, we're at the end of a 200,000-year cycle. We've been discussing this. It is the end of a cycle. 200,000 years ago, Homo sapiens made entry into this planet. That is why this is called the end of that cycle, because human beings entered the planet, and now is the next great leap in spiritual ability and physical ability, because now we are ready to move up into higher dimensions with our body. We don't have to die to move into that dimension now. We can take our physical with us. And so it's going to take a lot of training, a lot of work, clearing the physical body, clearing the emotional body, clearing the lower chakras of everything that has happened in the past lifetimes that we have lived, where we have memories that are negative memories. So for those who perhaps might remember a past lifetime, give me a call. Share that with us, 877-876-5227. If you'd like to hear a sample of what a conference call is like, you can go to my website and look at the button up at the top right-hand corner, conference calls, and there is a past conference call with Archangel Mikael. You'll have an opportunity to see how one works. And if you are so drawn, inclined to join us, please do. It's a fun group to be with. It is also an amazing thing to gather together, to hear those on the other side actually come and speak to us, teaching us the path that is before us, and just to be in their energies, to feel their love, and to have them answer your questions is quite remarkable. Give a thought and join us if you're so inclined. The other thing I think is of great interest is Journey to the Other Side. It's 10 installments. They come to you in your email. They look like a book. And it's software that enables us to bring the words of the masters, to decorate them with illustrations, and the pages turn like a real book. Your name, caller.
Hi, Carolyn. I'm another BBS radio host.
Okay.
My name is Trica St. Germain.
Oh, yes.
Hi. And I have almost total recall of my life in Atlantis.
Oh, isn't that exciting?
It is, because I loved Atlantis, and I still to this day love Atlantis.
Well, tell us about it. Would you care to share?
I would love to. That's why I called.
Good.
My name in Atlantis was Sabrina. We would probably pronounce it Sabrina in this day, because it was spelled similar to that. But in the Atlantean language, it was pronounced Sabrina. And I had two functions. I multitask in this lifetime, so there's nothing new. Well, I had three. But one of them was just for a few days each moon, of which they celebrated the 13 moon calendar in Atlantis. And in my function for that, I was the go-between, or the translator, so to speak, between the Council of 13 and the Council of 7. And what the 13 and the 7 were is Atlantis was divided into 13 areas or districts, similar to what we might call a state. And on the full moon, there was a representative of each area, of each of the 13 divisions, that met in a central location, and they held council with the seven, and the seven were the divine energies that we know as the seven rays, and the seven ascended masters and angels and archangels and Elohim of that, of those rays. And so I had the ability, and I remember this very distinctly, and I just want to do it again so much. I could materialize and dematerialize at will.
Hmm.
And I would be in physical form speaking with the 13 and getting their questions and their input. Because not, you know, you mentioned that, that people in Atlantis had a direct connection with Source, and that's very true, but not all people did. It's, you know, it's similar to now. You probably remember having the connection because you did. But not everybody did. So, and this also too was sort of a validation for those that did have a connection to Source, that everyone's connection and everyone's messages were right on. And so I was kind of like the arbitrator in a way.
Mm-hmm.
So I would listen to their messages, and then I would dematerialize physically and go up into the higher realms and communicate with the higher realms in the language and the ways that that was necessary, get their input and their instructions, and rematerialize and speak to the council. And this went on for 3 days, every full moon. So that's what I did for during that time. Then what I did at the rest of the time is I was sort of a guardian to the crystals. You mentioned the crystal
energy.
Yes. And there was a huge, huge cave, with crystals the size of, well, I want to say the size of the Empire State Building. I mean,
yes, very large.
Immense. And they fit vertically within this cave. And then there were also ones that were suspended with leather and pulleys and things that swung back and forth horizontally and slightly touched each other to create the piezotic or piezoic, I think it's pronounced, sparks of electricity. And that was the energy source for heating and light and things within the country of Atlantis. And so I would go there and make sure that the crystals were not being abused, and that they were happy, and that they were being well cared for, and all of that. And I have, in this lifetime, been reacquainted with the man who was the master crystal keeper, and he was an ascended master at the time on Atlantis, and his name is Aronk, and he's now up in the Orion system, and he spent many years with me back in the 80s helping me to remember. And he never told me what I did. He would just assist me in going out of my body and going back into that time and watching and seeing what I did, which has more validity to me because it's my actual experience.
Yes, rather than somebody
rather
telling
than
you.
Rather than just someone saying, blah, 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 blah. You know?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then
true.
And then the third thing that I did, and the thing that is closest to my heart, is I was with Saint Germain at the Temple of the Violet Flame in Atlantis.
Mm.
And it was a beautiful physical structure, and Saint Germain was there, and I was there, and many other healers and people of the seventh ray, one of which was Elvis Presley. And we did various forms of healing and maintaining the violet flame, which was visible in those days and burnt from a huge cauldron, very similar to the Olympics, when they have the Olympics every 4 years.
That had to have been beautiful.
Yes, and it was there in all of its splendid, glorious violet beauty. And so that's what I did. So those are the three things that I did in Atlantis.
See, I'm so glad that you shared that. Where you might be aware of this, and maybe you're not. When Atlantis broke up, There were some who decided to stay with the crystals and guard them and went down with the crystals.
Yes.
Were you aware of that?
Oh yes. In fact, I know one of the people that did that has been one of my best friends for the past 20 years. He's here incarnated.
Well, you might be interested in this because I think this is a fascinating story. I had been on. I went on a cruise. We were going back to Atlantis. We had work that we were doing. It was with Norma Mavlanovich. We
mm-hmm.
probably had about 70 people who were with us, and we were at a place over the water. And one of my guides said, come with me. We need to go down underneath the water. And
mm-hmm.
I could see myself. I was a little intimidated about it first, but I decided to do this and went down with him. And I don't know how far down we went, but it seemed like we went a distance. And there were souls there who were still with crystals. We went down to where there were crystals, told the souls that it was time now that they could leave, that they had done their job of protecting the crystals, and it was now time to move on. They came up, and when they did, it was so fascinating. I wish I had had a camera to actually see this on film, but what had happened was there was heavenly hosts that came down from the heavens, and so that we could know that other people knew that there was something going on.
Mm-hmm.
Mother Mary was there. She showed this enormous, why can't I think of the word now? At the end of the rain, we have a rainbow, right?
Yes,
she showed
rainbow.
This rainbow. It wasn't raining, but this rainbow came into place. And as these souls are going up into the higher realms, then she brings in another rainbow. We had two rainbows that were perpendicular to one another.
Oh, standing straight up vertical?
No, they were
not. Or a double rainbow.
It was a double rainbow,
okay.
But it formed like the letter T when I say perpendicular.
Oh, okay.
They were two rainbows. They formed like the, and it was, I mean, anybody who saw that knew something was going on.
Mm-hmm.
You could see these souls going up in this cloud, and the spiritual hierarchy had opened up this energy portal, and they went up into the energy portal, and that's when the two rainbows came.
Wow, I've seen vertical rainbows that appear like a ladder,
uh-huh.
but I've never seen one shaped like a letter T. That's interesting.
Well, the one came in that looked like what was how rainbows are usually shaped.
Right, the arc.
Yes. Then the second one came in, and it would like form a T, and that's why I said it was like perpendicular.
Mm-hmm.
But it took a little time for both of these to move into place.
Mm-hmm.
So they were released.
Great. What part of the planet was this?
We had taken a cruise to the Bahamas,
mm-hmm.
and the ship had stopped at an island. It was their island. We were on the Norwegian cruise line, and they own an island there where their ships will stop on the way to on the way, and people can get off if they want to and go swimming there. And it was right near that island.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't recall the name of
it. So it was in the Bahamas. So.
Yes. So I have a question for you if you know this answer. I was intrigued by the fact that you were doing this work around the full moon.
Yes.
Do you have any concept as to what energies were involved here with the full moon that it made that it was a good time to be doing this work?
Well, for one thing, people traveled, a lot of them traveled from afar and traveled. It took them more than one day to get to the meeting place because I don't know what your idea of how big Atlantis was, but it was huge.
Yes, it was very large.
And in fact, I firmly believe that a lot of the United States is and was Atlantis.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the Crystal Cave, where all the huge ones were, when that blew up, it created the Gulf of Mexico.
Oh, interesting.
It was right there in Texas and the Gulf of Mexico. But anyway, the full moon, you know, is always the illumination, and it creates, in astrology even today, the full moon always is the promise or the fulfillment. In astrology, they say the full moon brings what the new moon promises.
Oh, uh-huh.
So your intentions that you set at the new moon then come into fruition or manifestation at the full moon. And the full moon has always got such tremendous power because it's a perfect polarity, the opposition between the sun and the moon, which signifies the male and the female energy. So it's a perfect balance and a perfect polarity. And there's always great strength and power at a full moon. And the veils are usually a little thinner to communicate with spirit in the higher realms. So that's why it's an easy marker, you know. When you tell everyone, we're having council on the full moon, every full moon, it's easy to remember rather than saying, well, it's going to be the 12th of the month, you know. Everyone can see the full moon coming and knows when it's going to be.
Well, all the points that you're making are just beautiful, and I would agree with them. The reason I thought about the full moon is there have been other cultures, other groups who do work at the full moon.
Oh, yes.
The Templars, for one.
Yes, and all the indigenous people.
Yes.
The American Indians and the Dogons in Africa. And, yeah, it's just always, it's a universally powerful time.
As this is. It's getting real interesting, isn't it?
Oh, it certainly is.
Well,
you were talking about the orbs. I haven't put them on my website yet, but a friend of mine who has the ability to, she's got the right kind of camera, let's say that, and the ability to take a lot of pictures of orbs. I approached her not too long ago, and I said, hey, Ariana, can you go up on the mountain with me and take some pictures? I want to play around and see if I can call down orbs and see what I can do.
Oh, I'm sure you could.
Oh, God, you should see these pictures. I've got this one purple orb that is so immense, and my hand is up, and I'm, like, bouncing it like a volleyball or a beach ball, and it's huge. And then I've got pictures of some that I've never seen before, and I saw James Gillian the other day, and I was showing him my pictures, and he's never seen these before either. I've got some orbs that are striped in colors, not rainbow striped, because that can be light reflection, but there's black and white and yellow and orange and green, and they're in perfect stripes. One's horizontal and one's vertical. So, I mean, there's just tremendous stuff going, and then I was calling down the energies, and I've got all these huge streaks of rainbow coming down, and it's really neat. So I'm going to put them on my website.
I think it's fascinating since you work with Saint Germain, and you have this very large orb that is
violet.
His color.
Well, yes, I know that was not an accident.
No, and if you heard this earlier, Archangel Mikael was talking about being a reflection. You know, in a sense, it's like reflecting your work.
Yes.
I have two
special places on Mount Shasta that are meeting places for Saint Germain and I. I mean, he pops into the house and whatever, but when we want to do something kind of ceremonial or special, I meet him at these places on the mountain, and there's two of them, and that's where these pictures were taken at my two Saint Germain meeting places.
Yeah, I have a date with Mount Shasta. I'm not sure when I'm going to be there, but it's calling me.
Oh, yeah, well, call me.
Yeah,
call
I would love it.
Come. I'll take you
Oh.
I'll take you around.
I would love to do that. Well, you know, darling, what it's like when it's 5 minutes before the hour.
Oh,
you know,
yes,
how we have to exit.
Off and let you say your goodbyes.
Thank you for calling in.
Can I just plug my website real quick?
CarolynEvers.com?
No, mine.
Oh, yes.
It's AscensionSaintGermain.com. And I'm on Station 1 on VBS on Wednesdays at 8.
Wonderful.
And I thank you so much for having me on, even though you didn't know you were going to have me on.
Darling, we've got to go. We're right up to
bye
that cutoff point.
Blessings. Bye-bye.
Bye, all.